Florida Connects provides straight spouse awareness support.
Have you found out that you're a straight spouse? Are you worried about what that means for you and your family now? South Florida Connects is here for you. We are a local Miramar nonprofit outreach and advocacy organization that provides straight spouse awareness support to men and women who need help to deal with the devastating realization that their spouse or significant other is secretly gay. If you suspect, are found out by admission or incriminating evidence that your spouse, the father or mother of your children, your life partner, your significant other is gay, and you need help handling this devastating information, we are here for you. We understand how difficult and debilitating this can be. Here at South Florida Connects, we believe no straight spouse should be left behind. Visit us at our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. Or call our support hotline at 954-983-9751. That's 954-983-9751. And leave us a message with your contact information, and our peer support specialist will contact you. Or you can email us at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com to share the details and say what help you need. You can be anonymous, as we do not need to know your name to help you. Call us if you want to have a seminar or support group meeting at your church, business, or organization. Turn to South Florida Connects for straight spouse awareness, as no straight spouse should be left behind. Go to southfloridaconnects.com for more information.
And maybe a soldier, I'll die for you.
Welcome to Straight Spouse Awareness, where no spouse is left behind. I am Debbie, your host, and today we'll be talking about general straight spouse awareness matters. You know, some time ago someone asked me why I am doing this work, why I've taken on straight spouse awareness, since there's such a stigma attached to the whole idea of gay behavior. I told her, I did nothing wrong, so I have no intention of hiding or keeping quiet. It happened to me, and I think about it, and I say to myself, if it can happen to me, a well-informed, educated, outgoing, middle-class Christian woman, it can happen to anyone. My willingness to step up and talk about this topic will help others who have fewer resources and help them to know that help is available and that they are not alone, because some people isolate themselves, believing that it only happened to them. You know, I remember back when people were ashamed to talk about domestic violence and abuse. People would not admit publicly that they were victims or survivors. I was not afraid, because I believed back then that telling my story and openly admitting that I am a survivor would help someone else come to terms with their abusive situation. When they realize that they know someone who went through it and got out and is empowered enough to be able to help others, they can see that they too can be helped. Community outreach is what I do, and I like doing it, even though it means that my life is used as an example. I really don't mind at all as long as I'm helping someone else. So while we are on the matter of straight spouse awareness, who is a straight spouse? Now, this is my definition. You are a straight spouse if you are a heterosexual person who is or was in a relationship, is married to, separated, or divorced from someone who is LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. Transgender may include, but is not limited to, transsexuals, cross-dressers, or individuals who have had a sex change. Some people are straight spouses by choice, but most straight spouses unknowingly dated or married someone who is secretly gay. Now, you may ask, why am I so interested in helping straight spouses? I nearly married a secretly gay man, and that made me so acutely aware that if I am so vigilant in my choice of companions, and he was able to hide his true sexual orientation so well, what about the other sisters and brothers in the church who are not even aware that such situations exist? Let us not even talk about those in the church. The rest of the brothers and sisters in the community who are clueless that such situations exist. Because so many people are low information. So they don't listen to certain programs, they don't read certain books, they don't watch certain, you know, some certain informational programs, so they don't get certain information that they should. So those people may not have enough information about what's going on in their community, and so because they may be insulated or isolated, they don't know about everything that might be going on that can affect them. So naturally, because it happened to me and it embarrassed me, after the embarrassment wore off, I got mad. And for those people who know me, when I get mad, I get into action. And when I find out that there is a problem, and especially in this case, when I did all the research and found out there were so millions of people who were affected by this problem, I decided that I had to find a solution. Now, my solution may not help to eradicate straight spouses completely, but my intention is to help those who are already straight spouses to understand their situation and how they can recuperate and how they can recover from it. And I also intend to give enough information so those people who are on the borderline of marrying someone who is gay, secretly gay, will get enough information so that they open their eyes wide enough, open up their thinking broad enough so that they realize that if they go forward with the marriage, they are going to become a straight spouse. And if we talk about the issues that face straight spouse, the suffering, the hardships, enough people will hear and listen and understand that if they go down that road, the same fate is probably awaiting them. Now, let us talk a little about when straight spouses come out of the closet. Because that's when some people find out that they're straight spouses. Now, this is usually the beginning of the year for some men, some gay men, some secretly gay men. They usually choose the beginning of the year to come out to their spouses or to allow themselves to be discovered. I'm not sure why they do that, but I'm thinking that because everyone usually have New Year's resolution. So maybe their resolution for that year is to come out of the closet and stand up and be who they really are. Now, we all make New Year's resolution, like I said. And when a secretly gay person decide that they are ready to leave their relationships or their marriage and explore their newly accepted same-sex orientation, they will maybe make a resolution to themselves that after the New Year celebrations, they are going to come out to their spouses. Now, in this season, a straight spouse's destiny will be attacked on all sides. Financially, it will seem impossible. Emotionally, it will seem unbearable. And mentally, it will seem exhausting. But in a small place in your belly, deep in your belly, is a seed of faith that won't let you give up. Hold tight to your dreams and fight past your flesh and let God do the rest. You can't close the door because it has already gone outside. You can't lose what you never really had. This battle is not yours anymore. It's the Lord's, because your gay husband has decided that they don't want to be with you. They don't want to be in a marriage anymore. So you cannot fix that situation. You can only turn that over to God. Now, after talking at a session for Straight Spouse Awareness, No Spouse Left Behind recently, one of the participants confided that she left her marriage because her husband declared he was gay. I have heard from a number of people, mostly members of our support group and people from local churches, who talk about the same reason contributing to their divorces. I have had several people, men and women, share variations of the same story. A husband coming home sick midday from work, only to find his wife in bed with another woman, and then their subsequent divorce. A nurse, the sole breadwinner for her family, coming home unexpectedly at midnight after telling her husband she would be working the graveyard shift and finding him in bed, not just with one person, but with three persons, his so-called best friend, the neighbor, and his work-out partner from the gym. It was such a great blow to her pride, her self-esteem, and her sexual esteem. She fell apart, literally, and tried to kill herself. She said later that, "I was doubly traumatized by the deceit. I thought, how could I have missed the signals? I was so ashamed when I thought about how many times they may have done it in my house. Right under my nose. I never had a clue." That, unfortunately, is the reality of so many straight spouses. It has been happening under their noses for years and they didn't have a clue. While in all the cases, the straight spouses felt alone and confused upon learning this revelation that their spouse was gay or lesbian, this situation is not as uncommon as some people want us to think. Many people believe that in our community we are experiencing this with more frequency, and I agree. When discussing these circumstances with my peers and other people in support groups, their stories are not different. In some instances, they were blindsided by the revelations and astounded by the questions friends ask. Can you imagine someone asks, "How could you not know?" As if you knew, you wouldn't have done something. Those of you who left, as if you knew if you wouldn't have left sooner. As if you knew you would continue to give so many years of your life to a situation that you know would never change, would end up robbing you of your good health, your peace of mind, and your belief in yourself. You know, these people ask these questions because they don't know anything better. Because if you knew, if there were any, you know, sometimes there are signs, there are obvious signs that some people missed. You know that their partner has been struggling with same-sex orientation. Some people experience loving, sexually fulfilling relationships. Then there were others who had some inkling that something was wrong, but never really confronted their spouse. until finally a declaration of sexual orientation was admitted. You know, in our Caribbean community, because I'm from Jamaica, in our Caribbean community here in South Florida, many men and women are being blindsided because our culture did not equip them with the information to deal with this kind of dilemma. Because I am from a culture where homosexuality is frowned upon. When a person is known to have gay orientation, that is a very dangerous situation for them back home in my country, Jamaica. And there is a law there that can throw a gay person in jail if they're caught having anal sex with another person, whether it's a man or a woman. So there's no literature that was circulating schools or no curriculum that would teach you about anything like that. And this topic was not discussed in churches. It was not discussed in local community organizations because having gay orientation is a taboo subject, and anything about it was not encouraged. So people were not educated about all the different things that could happen. So a lot of people think that, okay, gay men will stick to gay men. Lesbians will stick to lesbians. That's how a lot of us grew up. That's what we grew up thinking, not knowing that because there is this law that will send gay men to jail, they will marry straight women to hide the fact that they are gay. So now, some of these people, they migrate, and they find themselves in this situation where they're discovering that their long-time spouses were actually closeted gay men and women. You know, conservative estimates indicate that roughly 4 million lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals in the United States have married someone of the opposite sex. And there are more than 3 million children born to these unions. When these partners come out of the closet, one-third of these relationships usually break up right away. A third stay together for a year or so, and then they separate. And another third commit to making it work, although some 3 years later, only about half of this last group of relationships are still intact. And when I say intact, I don't mean that they are having a wonderful, wonderful romantic married life. Sometimes they stay together just so that they can maintain this status quo. People still think that they are okay when they are not. The children may not even know that daddy or mommy is gay. So they keep the family unit like that, and so the secret remains between mommy and daddy. So mommy essentially has stepped into daddy's closet and pulled the door shut behind her, because, you know, that's the only way sometimes a woman can stay married to a man who is gay and active in the gay community. Because if he is known to be gay by you, and you know he's going out to have great sex with his male lover, you know, how do you cope with that? How do you cope with that? But some women do. Some women do. And, you know, in an effort to better understand what many people in our community, especially among women in our local churches and in our local community, were experiencing. In the beginning, you know, when I was just going on this straight spouse awareness journey, trying to do something to help, I spoke with Bonnie Kay, my straight spouse mentor. She is an awesome woman who has helped me on this journey, you know, so much more than I ever imagined. You know, because I met her when I was on my journey, but she has helped me to become so strong, so focused, and that is why I'm able to do what I'm doing right now, to help other people who are in the situation, to make them realize that they are not alone and they can get help. Now, I agree with Bonnie that when she said that when married people come out or are discovered, quote-unquote, it becomes a family matter. I call it a family affair. A spouse's disclosure impacts the couple's relationship, and if they are parents, their children's lives are impacted as well. As more husbands and wives are coming out, more straight spouses are seeking support to cope with this profound issue. They represent a diversity of ages, socioeconomic background, race, ethnicities, educational levels, occupations, and faith communities. You know, they too, the straight spouses too, are affected by the social stigmatization and heterosexual expectations that help influence their partners to marry. The straight husband or wife and their children, they go through their own struggle to understand and accept the revealed information from their own perspective. Bonnie and others, along with myself, have researched the impact of a spouse's coming out on the family. And extensive research has shown that disclosure and its aftermath within a family occurs in waves, starting with the act of coming out or being discovered. After an internal struggle to acknowledge his or her sexual orientation or gender identity, a gay spouse, you know, goes through some changes, and once they are out, quote unquote, the second wave begins, as the straight wife or husband has to deal with what it means. As the two spouses deal with the revelation, each of them from a different viewpoint, a third wave of coming out begins when they tell their children or the children find out. So there are different steps, different things that happen when the disclosure is made or when the discovery is made. Now, I am going to just talk about each of these stages briefly. Now, responses to each stage vary. Some straight spouses feel that this is a nightmare. Some people, they fall apart. I mean, literally fall apart and become dysfunctional. They can't take care of themselves. They can't care of the kids. They lose time from work. The normal things that they used to, they can't do them no more, because this is a devastating time for some people. And not all straight spouses are built the same way. Some people can handle stress more than others, and some people cannot handle any stress at all. So they become very confused and can come to question the reality of the entire relationship. And this is normal. If you're doing that, that is normal for you to question, was this real? Was there anything of worth in this for him or her? It's okay to question. Some experience a sense of relief if they had wondered what was wrong with their relationship, because you know all the stuff is going on. He doesn't want to touch you. He doesn't want to make love to you. You can't remember the last time you had sexual relationship with your husband or your wife. So you wonder, what's going on? Are they be acting so weird and doing all these weird things that you're so clueless about? So you keep wondering, is it me? And you try to fix everything because you think the problem is you. And now you find this biggie, this secret that they had all this time, now you know. So that can bring a relief where you can get an aha moment and say, it wasn't really me. You know? So that can be helpful for some people, although not everybody sees it the same way. Now, straight spouse experts suggest that there are three issues that arise that need to be dealt with right away when a straight spouse discloses his or her sexual orientation: the sexuality, the marriage, and the children, if you have children. Alongside these immediate concerns, three deep crises emerge. You have a crisis in identity, because the coming out destroys their sense of who they are. Now, I was married to this man, and I know I'm straight, and he said he's gay. You know, so there's this identity confusion. Then there's the integrity issue. their partner kept their orientation or gender identity a secret for all those years. So now there's a problem with integrity, because this person who you thought you knew, this person who you thought was your soulmate, your best friend, your lover, your spouse, you're finding out that you didn't really know them at all. So there's this crisis that you're having now with integrity, because they have been lying to you all this time, and now you have a problem with, you know, with the integrity, their integrity, not yours, because you have been truthful. So you have a problem with theirs. And your belief system may has been dealt a really big blow. Some people are open-minded, so they are aware of what goes on around them. So when this happens, they hate it. It knocks them, gives them a big blow, and maybe knock you down on your butt for a while. But they can get up back and say, okay, I know this person who that happened to, or that person who that happened to. So they don't feel like they are alone, like some people who had no idea that this sort of stuff happened. So, you know, because the disclosure shatters the spouse's assumptions about gender, about sexual relationships, about marriage, and most of all, about your future. Now, the whole family also has to go through a process of coming out. Yeah, the whole family. Some people decide that they will just go into the closet with their husband, and their children will not find out until they're grown and left home. The rest of the family may never find out either, because the wife decides to just step in the closet with the husband. But some wives decide that, no, I'm not keeping that secret. It's not mine to keep anymore. I will tell the rest of the family, or you tell them, or I will, and the children need to know, so we are going to tell them together, or I will. Some people do that. You know, sensitivity is a must when coming out to children, especially at different stages in their life. What I found out from talking to people is that middle school age children may have the hardest time dealing with the revelation, because they are developing their own sexual identity, and young adults sometimes become judgmental, as their value system has most likely been formed already. So they know they don't want to be gay, or they are not gay, or they're straight, and they don't think being gay is, you know, is kosher. So they have already developed their belief system. And some of the kids in middle school may take it very personal, because now they're wondering, daddy's gay, doesn't mean I'm going to be gay too? Or mom is a lesbian, doesn't mean I'm going to be a lesbian? So, and you know, middle school kids can be very brutal. So if their friends find out, they might not be nice about it. So it is a big problem for middle school kids. So I understand why some parents keep the secret from them until they pass through that phase. But the thing is, you have to be honest with your kids, because if they find out, and sometimes they do find out, sometimes they know before you found out, but they keep the secret because they don't want to ruin their family. Because kids are very smart. They are so much smarter than we give them credit for, because they are computer savvy, and sometimes they see dad left stuff on the computer, or mom left stuff on the computer, and they're not stupid. They know what's going on. But they will just keep the secret so they don't hurt mom's feelings, or they don't hurt dad's feelings, and worse, they don't break up the family. Now, in order to get through this and move on to regain your sense of identity, self-esteem, your faith, and lose the anger, straight spouses go through 6 stages of coping. Let me talk about them a little, not in any detail, so everyone gets a better understanding. You know, you might be going through some of this and you don't really understand what's going on. You know, in stage 1 is where you have the disorientation, the disbelief, the denial, and for some people, the relief. You are going to be so discombobulated, some of you. You know what happened. Those of you who had it happen to you already, you remember what it was like when you really, really found out and say, oh my gosh, this is what this is. You know, when you come to the realization that your spouse is secretly gay. You know, a straight partner's denial that their partner is not straight prevents them from dealing with reality. Once you are able to come to terms with this, you may be relieved to find an answer as to why things did not feel right and can accept why something was missing and why the marriage or the relationship was not working, even though you seem to love each other. At least you know you loved that person, and you know why nothing was gelling, you know, because you are straight and they are gay. So you know, you get to understand why you weren't gelling, why everything was so messed up. Now, stage two is when you begin to face and acknowledge and accept the reality. Because you have to do that. Because I talk about survival strategies for straight spouses. That's in another show. And you have to accept what's going on. You have to face it. You have to acknowledge it before you can ever begin any healing. So no matter how much strategy you have, if you're not accepting it, you're not going to heal. So slowly, after you face it, you acknowledge it, and you accept it as your new reality, you will slowly, the reality peeps into you, seeps into your consciousness. And eventually, you must acknowledge these realities as true and irreversible. Once acknowledged, you are ready to finally accept the present reality of your new normal. Because this is your new life. This is your new status. You are in a mixed orientation marriage, and nothing you can do or think of will make that go away. This is your new life. Either you're going to stay in it, or you're going to leave. But this is the new normal for you right now. You're just going to have to adjust to this new normal. Now, stage three is where you have accepted that this is your new normal, so you have to let go of the past. Once there is acceptance of the new reality, you let go of what you thought the marriage was and start to grieve the dreams you have had all these years. Because now that you have accepted it, it's like a death. It's like a death, and you are going to grieve. And it is natural for you to grieve. This is a part of the healing process. Grieving is a part of the healing process. Because when you have a death in your family, look at what happens to the people in the family. They go through a period of grieving, a period of mourning. So this is going to happen to you because your marriage has just essentially died. Whatever you had or you thought you had is non-existent. It's gone. Whatever you have now, it's a different kind of marriage. So the marriage you had before you found out, it's not the same marriage anymore. You are in a marriage because you haven't left yet, you have not divorced yet, but it's not the marriage that you had before you found out. So you have to bury that old marriage, accept the reality that it is dead, and face your new reality. Now, when you do that, your healing will begin in stage four. Your healing will begin. And only when you let go of what was can you begin to really heal and move forward. Now, healing really begins when you start taking care of your own health and well-being. Just thinking won't help you. You have to act. Like I tell some people sometimes, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. If you don't take action, your faith is not going to work because faith without action is dead. So you have to do something. You have to start doing some different things than what you used to do. Now, it is time for you to focus inward. Because this is all about you now. You can't fix what's broken. You can't fix anybody else to make them straight. So you are going to have to fix you so that you can live with what has happened in your life. So you're going to focus inward. You're going to clarify your wants, your needs, and your values. Know what they are. You're going to know what is a need and what is a want. And I always tell people, my needs are stuff that I cannot live without. My wants are stuff that I would love to have, but I can certainly live without. So we have to focus and put everything into perspective. Now, expect a breakthrough in terms of thinking or perspective. You might have some really sensational aha moments. You know, moments of clarity, moments when you get these, you know, you get these brainstorm ideas that come to you, moments when things look, you know, happen like 5-6 years ago that you were clueless about, that didn't mean anything, that didn't do anything for you except frustrate you and aggravate you and make you feel less than. When you look back at them, you have some aha moments. You say, oh, that was that. And you develop clarity. And so you're healing on your healing journey. You will get some of those flashbacks. And now sometimes, instead of getting angry, you will laugh. Because I laugh about a lot of stuff that I shouldn't even be laughing about. But what am I supposed to do, cry? I don't think so. So I look at it and I laugh at it. And I say, this is so comical because I let that happen. I was so blind, I didn't even see that, so I could say, not with me. You know? So that is something that will happen to you. But you're at a place now because you've gone to stage four and your healing has begun and you're seeing things from a different kind of perspective. So now you're ready to go on to stage five, where you are reconfiguring your identity, your integrity, and your belief system. You know, once a realistic picture of yourself is created, you are able to reconfigure who you are and regain your sense of self-worth, resetting your moral compass based on your truth. Remember, notice I said your truth, not somebody's truth. Your truth and your own reality. So you're not going to listen to what other people are saying now, because this is about you. This is what you are experiencing. So this is going to be based on your truth and your reality. Now, you learn. You're going to also learn to trust yourself more and also trust others, because when you find out, you're going to be like, I can't trust nobody, nobody. So now you're going to be at the place where you can trust your own judgment again. And then you begin to trust other people. But this is something that you might want to take gradually. But you have to learn to trust yourself again, to believe that you can make a decision. You can pick another mate and not make the same, what you call it, mistake. Because sometimes it's not that you make a mistake. It's just that people are so good at hiding who they are, there's no way you could have known. So I'm not going to say you made a mistake. Because if people want to hide something from you, they deliberately want to hide it, they will do anything to make sure you don't know. So I'm not going to say you made a mistake. Because sometimes some of you saw clues before you got married, and some of you had no idea. So I'm not going to call that a mistake. So we are at stage five, where you have reconfigured your identity and your integrity and your belief system, and you are more realistic now, and you are putting yourself in a way where you can reconfigure who you are and regain your sense of self-worth, because that's important. Remember, your self-worth, your self-esteem, your sexual esteem, all those things, your belief system, all those things were like crushed. They were like shattered, like a Mack truck hit everything and just crushed it up. Now you have to rebuild, and you are doing a good job, because if you're listening to me right now, that means you have done a great job so far. Now, it is time to focus inward, like I said before, so you can clarify your wants, your needs, your values. I have to repeat this. Expect a breakthrough in terms of thinking and perspective, because that is going to happen. Now, stage five, that's where we are. Your self-worth has improved. You are able to make decisions without second-guessing yourself. You start to trust other people because you realize that not everybody is like that. Not everybody is deceptive. And you're resetting your moral compass based on your truth and your reality. So now, before you were thinking, when you found that you were thinking that all gays are evil, now you change your thinking. Oh, they're not all evil. It's just that some people didn't really know what was going on when they got married. Or some people didn't really know. So, you know, you can't hold that against them because they were clueless too. Because some people who got married in the 60s and 70s, some of them, they knew what they were feeling. But because of their family influence or their church influence, they didn't even know if they should be out and proud or they should just go marry to see if marriage will make those feelings go away. So some of them, you know, they were uninformed. I call them uninformed. So they made those decisions and then they hurt you in the process. You know, which was not intentional to hurt you. They were not intending to hurt anyone. But that is what ended up happening because they handled the situation incorrectly because they were misinformed or uninformed. They made some bad decisions that end up hurting someone else. Now, lastly, accommodating the new information into your worldview will give you meaning and purpose to your life. This is stage 5. Now your life has a meaning. Now your life has a purpose. Now that is where you will start doing stuff like me. Help other people who are going through what you're going through. You will start helping people. You feel like, oh, I have something to contribute to the world. I have something that I can contribute to make other people's lives better. You know, so you will start volunteering more, you know, doing more stuff than what you used to do before. You will take yourself out of isolation. You will stop, you know, locking yourself off away from friends and company. And you will start going out, you know, going to different organizations, going to meetings, doing other stuff that show that you have purpose to your life right now. You don't feel like you're going to die anymore, but you feel like life is worth living because you have so much to give. Now, stage 6 is where you are going to transform your life. You're already in the transformation process. You will have the purpose. You've been through all of that, and now you have a purpose. So you're going to transform your life with your identity, your integrity, your belief system, all of that reconfigured. You now feel like a new person because you're not going to be saying, my husband. You might just start saying, my ex. Even if you're not divorced, you will start thinking like a single person now. Instead of thinking like a us, you're thinking like a me and I. Because that's what your new reality is. So you are facing it and you're taking control of it. Now, you're gonna realize that after you do all that reconfiguration, you're gonna achieve some balance emotionally and psychologically. And you're not gonna feel like you wanna kill anybody anymore, you know? You're not gonna feel like you wanna drive your car over anyone, trust me. You're gonna feel like, oh, why was I even giving him so much of my energy? He didn't deserve my time of the day after he did all of that. You know, I just need to keep that energy to make myself better and to help to make the world a better place. Don't focus on negatives because that's when you get to that stage, that's when you're going to say, oh, I don't want to focus on the negatives. Let me take away what I learned from that situation so I can be a better me, a new and improved me, so I can help to make the world a better place. And you can live your life as a new person in a new way when you start to think like that. Now, the coping, the pain, the anger, the fear, and the grief, and often it's a slow process because I just read through the stages like that for you, but it's not going to be so fast. It's not going to be so fast because the anger is going to keep recurring sometimes throughout the whole process because these stages, sometimes you're going to feel like you're repeating them. One day you're up, and the next day you're down. One day you're feeling like you could conquer the world, and the next day you feel like you're being broadsided again. You know, because that's the reality of healing. You cope at your level of strength. And some people, you are weak to begin with. So don't feel bad if you lapse sometimes. But what I tell people is, don't stay in the anger mode too long. Don't stay in the anger mode. Because you know what? Anger occurs throughout the issues. Pain and fear are felt mostly in the beginning. Because, you know, you've been broadsided. So you're going to feel the pain and the fear. But the grief arises as you let go of each part that you thought you had, you know? You're going to be grieving the loss of your marriage. Maybe you're going to grieve the loss of your nice big house and your cushy existence that you had before. Maybe you're going to grieve that. It's okay. It's okay. That was your life for years, so it's okay to grieve that. But if spouses can't manage the grieving and the anger in productive ways, the hurt and the pain creates a victim mentality. You will get into a victim mentality and the anger will turn into vindictiveness. Oh yeah. The anger will turn into vindictiveness when you want to do all sorts of stuff to hurt the person who hurt you like that, to hurt the person who deceived you and embarrassed you like that. But the fear becomes paralysis too. You know, straight spouses can feel so paralyzed. They don't even want to leave the house. They can't do nothing. They can't work. They can't take care of their kids. And the grief intensifies to depression or suicidal thoughts and actions. That is one of the reasons why so many straight spouses are depressed and remain on medication for depression for a long, long time. Because they hang on to the grief. Grieving is something that you do and stop. You shouldn't continue to grieve forever. Grieve and stop so that you can heal. When you continue to grieve so long and you stay, you get the anger when you're grieving and all the fear, you will become dysfunctional. And one way that straight spouses become dysfunctional is through depression, because depression can kill you. Depression can make you so dysfunctional you can't leave the house to do anything. It can take your life away from you. So that is why I say, don't hang on to the grieving and the pain and all of that and the anger. Try to pass through that as fast as you can. You need to do it at your own pace. And you can't have anybody, including me, tell you how long you should grieve or how fast you should move along. It's all about you. Your grieving process is all about you. You go at the pace that you can handle without falling apart further. So this is all about you. And one of the sad things is that sometimes straight spouses, they're locked up in depression and people don't know what's going on with them. And sometimes people have the wrong idea, oh, they must be on drugs or maybe they're an alcoholic now. They don't know the real story behind why you are the way you are. So they will have all these assumptions, even at work. People will assume all these things about you at work. And you go further and further into depression and then you have all these suicidal thoughts. And then sometimes people end up hurting themselves because they have no support system, because sometimes initially you have already been isolated from the people who love you, the people who care about you, because your gay spouse makes sure of that so that you don't have anybody to bounce any ideas off, any theories off, especially when he knows that you might be suspecting stuff. They like to isolate you, and especially those of you who are already in an abusive, physically abusive situation, you have a double whammy, you know? So now you're in this deep, dark hole of depression, and you have no one to confide in, no one to call and check on you, to talk to you, because you practically burn your bridges, because you had no, you to be with a man, you end up burning some bridges. So now there's nobody to call and check on you, so you're in this all by yourself. And that's how you feel. But you are not alone. If you're hearing this, and you are in that situation, you are not alone. There are so many organizations that would love to help you to get out of that depression. And we have our Straight Spouse organization will help you to understand what you need to do for you. So you can send us an email at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com. Or you can call our support hotline at 954-983-9751. That's 954-983-9751. And you can go to our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. And you will get a whole lot of information on there that will help you to go through this process and not hurt as much as you might be hurting right now. Now, for those of you, like I said, getting through these issues and feelings and begin to cope effectively can take years to properly heal. You know, the statistics, I sound like I'm doing great, right? I feel like I am doing great, but I'm still on my healing journey because I still feel like I'm angry that I, not at him now. I'm not angry at him anymore now. You know, whatever he did it, and I can't make him change. But sometimes I get angry at myself that I was not more careful, and you might go through that too. I'm like, why didn't I use my sense of discernment? Because that's a gift that I have. And I'm like, why didn't I use it with him? Why didn't I? You know, so sometimes I get angry at myself, but that's okay. That's normal if you do that. But don't do that often, and don't do that for any prolonged period of time. Because you're human, so those things will happen. So, you know, that's, I'm just telling you what my experiences are. So if you're feeling that same way, you know that it's normal. It's a normal behavior. You know, you're not going crazy. It's normal behavior. Now, like I said, getting through these feelings, like, you know, coping can take years, you know, a long, long, long time for some people, many years. But the statistics indicate that it takes about 1 year of healing for every 5 years of marriage. Every 5 years that you were married to your gay spouse, you need 1 year of healing. Some people need the whole year. Some people need more than a year. But if you are like me, you bounce back easily. You don't need a whole year. You won't need a whole year. But the important thing is that you go at your own pace. You don't go ahead and set a timetable and say, oh, within 2 years I need to be out of this. Within 2 years I need to be over this. Just go at a pace that will make you heal and heal properly so that you become the strongest, most productive you that you can ever be. That's my advice. Do it at a pace because it's your pace. Don't let anyone dictate it for you. This is what the statistics say. 1 year for each every 5 years. But it's your reality. You go at your own pace. If you need more time, you take more time. If you need less time, you will use less time. And once this process takes place, for many, there is a realization that their partner really did marry them out of love. You know? And not to hide in a closet. They fully intend to make it work. So while these couples cannot be lovers and stay married, they can still be good friends. You know, because when that realization takes it, because that's why sometimes you hear people say that they are friends with their ex-gay spouse. And you wonder, how come they're friends with somebody who betrayed them like that? Because they got to this point, you know, where their healing is at the point where they can forgive and move on. Because don't let anybody tell you that you shouldn't forgive. Because forgiveness is not about them. Forgiveness is about you. When you open up yourself to forgive someone who wronged you, That is the ultimate strength. That is the, you are at a place of strength right there when you can forgive someone. Because the forgiveness is not to make them feel good. It's to make you feel better and so that God can work in your life and help you to move on to better things. So don't hang on to some grudges that they don't even know that you're holding on to. That's the thing. Some people, they carry unforgiveness around, and the person who they're holding the grudge against don't even know they exist. So, I mean, the forgiveness is not for them. It is for you to be better, for you to be stronger, because you will not have complete healing until you forgive. Because forgiveness alone is like, it's going to be like a burden hanging down on you and holding you down and pressing you down and making you feel like you're going to drown. And when you open up and you forgive, you're going to see how much better you feel. Forgive them and let them go. Let them and God deal with what they did to you. You know, it's not yours for you to hang on to. Forgive them so that you can continue your healing. Let them and God deal with what they did to you. Because forgiving them doesn't mean that you're excusing what they did to you. That is not what it means. It doesn't mean that you excuse it. It doesn't mean that you think it was okay so they can go do it again. No, that's not what it means. It means that you understand what happened to you. You accepted that it happened to you. But you are forgiving them because you are on your journey to being a better you despite what they did to you. That's what the forgiveness is all about. Now, for those of you who are focused on what spouses of gay individuals are, you know, who are they? What has happened to them? How can they be so forgiving and how can they be so loving to somebody who did that to them? Here's my answer. They are people with a heart like Christ. They possess a unique ability to see past the flaws of their gay spouse, straight into their divine destiny. They are virtuous women and men who honor marriage and walk in forgiveness. Their only crime is believing in a spouse more than they believed in themselves. Their love is endless and their strength is wrapped in grace. Theirs is the reflection of God's love. The fact that they were once married to a gay spouse is only added to the victory. Because when you forgive and continue your healing, you are victorious. No matter what people might think, you are victorious because God is with you. And how can you not be victorious when you have God with you? You are blessed. Now, if you are someone you know is struggling emotionally as a result of losing a spouse or partner because they are gay, visit our website at southfloridaconnects.com and become one of our No Spouse Left Behind partners. You don't have to go through this alone. You should not have to go through this alone. So reach out. Total strangers sometimes can be more help to you than your own family or your friends. So reach out for help. When we first discover that our husbands are gay and our wives are in love with another woman, many of us struggle with our own conflicting feelings. We feel anger, hurt, and confusion. Yet many of us continue to love our gay spouses while grieving the loss of the marriage or what we thought the marriage meant. We have so many feelings hitting us all at once, and it's important to realize, especially at the beginning, that we need time to work it all through. Our gay spouses are going through a lot, but they have their entire lives to realize they were gay and come to terms with it. So the straight spouse needs time to figure out how to deal with this revelation. So don't ask them to get over it already. Don't tell them it's time to move on. Don't do that. They just found out. And even if it's 2 years ago, it's only 2 years that they knew. The gay spouse knew forever. Now, we cope with all our feelings or empathy for them. We are anger and our confusion about what the future may hold all at once. And yet, when we reach for understanding, we are often told that we must understand what the gay person is going through, tough as it is. Yes, but sometimes we just have to count to 10 when somebody says stuff like that to us, because they don't understand that we did not choose what happened to us. Somebody did it to us. And when somebody did something to you, it hurts more than when you made a mistake. So you didn't make a mistake. Someone did it to you. So sometimes you may feel like you want to slam that person who said that to you, but just take a deep breath, count to 10, and let it go. Because they don't understand. And even if you start explaining, they may never get it. Now, after a while, many straight spouses wonder why no one feels that they must understand us. Oh, this is so common. They don't feel they need to understand you. All they will tell you, oh, it could have been worse. It could have been a woman. Excuse me? What makes anyone think that your husband cheating with a woman is worse than him cheating with a man? I'm not sure why anyone would even think that. So again, if somebody makes a mistake and say that to you, I won't mind if you look at them with pity, because that means they are so uninformed. But don't lose your self-respect, because you're building up right now. You're building up to this wonderful place where you feel empowered. And, you know, so don't let them take that from you with their snide remarks or anything like that. Don't let them take that from you. Now, because the simple answer is they cannot understand. They don't get it. And it's really not your job to make them get it. No, your job is to be good to you. So whether they get it or not, just if you can walk away from them, you walk away. Don't debate that. Don't debate the question with them. Don't do it. Why is South Florida Connects doing all of this? Why am I doing all of this? We understand the experience of learning that your spouse is gay or lesbian. We know how to affirm one another and share our experiences, because it helps to know that you are not alone and that you can confide in others with respect and confidentiality. In the beginning, we often cannot see that there can be any positive outcome. Given time and the ongoing support of each other, we rebuild our lives and relationships and go forward in truth. It's not a truth that is very pleasant or convenient at times. It's not a truth that others might have us live, but it's ours. So South Florida Connects makes it possible to help women and men who are straight spouses. We believe in God for a time and a place where men and women can come and feel at home and receive access to free counsel, a crisis hotline, shelter, HIV/AIDS testing and education, and empowerment workshops and seminars. We have this No Spouse Left Behind Straight Spouse Awareness Movement, and it's an effort to conduct awareness in our community and other areas. We are determined to let women and men with gay spouses know they are not forgotten. You are not alone. Like I said before, you can send us an email at sfconnects@gmail.com or call our hotline at 954-983-9751 and leave us a message. Life was not meant to be this difficult, period. Thank you for joining us on this Straight Spouse Awareness Program. Have a blessed evening, everyone. South Florida Connects does not give advice. We provide general information and straight spouse awareness peer support. Subject matters discussed on this radio program are for informational purposes only. We believe in education and empowerment, so we will share information we deem important with you. If you have a situation that matches anything we discussed, please seek the appropriate professional. We do not make on-air recommendations, but if you send an email to sfconnects@gmail.com or leave a detailed message with contact information on our Straight Spouse Support Hotline at 954-983-9751, we will provide a means for you to connect with an appropriate Straight Spouse Awareness Professional. We hope that information given here on this radio program will help you become more aware of your circumstances and propel you to get the help that you need for yourself and your family. We are a community, and whatever each one of us can do to contribute to the improvement and betterment of all, we should do so in a spirit of giving and sharing. Visit our website at SouthFloridaConnects.com for more information on Faith Spouse Awareness. If you have questions or have a topic that you would like to hear discussed, you can send us an email at sfconnects@gmail.com or leave us a message at 954-983-9751. May God continue to cover you with His guidance and care. There is nothing you'll face today, this week, this month, or this year that the Lord can't bring you through. I am praying that the peace of God will flood your soul and send any fears holding you back running so that the vision the Lord has given you will come to pass. Thank God for what you have, and always remember to trust God for what you need.
I may be a soldier. When your world comes crashing down, I'll be the one to hold you. Let me be a soldier. I'll fight for you. When you're up against the wall, I will pull you through.